soda fountain. Stop by Andrea's today for lunch and an old-fashioned soda.
Thank you. first movement from Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor, performed by the Vienna Philharmonic, the conductor, Leonard Bernstein. This next request, an online request from Patty in Sauk City, music of Claude Debussy. This is Reverie. And Patty adds she just loves the music of Debussy. Here's pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. A work by Claude Debussy called Reverie, played by pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. The final work for today's program comes from Brian in Cambridge, who is requesting a piece that he heard last Sunday on the Sunday Brunch program with Anders Joachim. It's a work by Vincenzo Tomasini called The Good Humored Ladies, ballet music, that the composer uses a number of Scarlatti's keyboard pieces in a very creative way. Concluding today's Classics by Request program, kind of in the same way that we began the program today, with a festive, lively work, this time by composer Vincenzo Tomasini from his Good Humored Ladies ballet music, music based on the works of Domenico Scarlatti. That was the final presto from the Sonata in G, a performance with Robert Irving directing the Concert Arts Orchestra. Want to remind you again to get your requests in early, especially during this holiday season. Either send a postcard or letter to Classics by Request, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue in Madison, 53706, or online anytime at our website, WPR.org. Coming up next, it's live from the Metropolitan Opera. And following that, Weekend All Things Considered from NPR, Prairie Home Companion at 5. And Higher Ground with Jonathan Overby at 7. I'm Ruth Ann Bessman. Thank you so much for joining me.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and I'm delighted to welcome you to a new season of Saturday matinee broadcasts. We open with a powerhouse diva in an irresistible role, Anna Netrebko as Puccini's Manon Lescaut. And tenor Marcelo Alvarez stars as de Grieux, who's consumed by his passion for her. Maestro Marco Armiliato is on the podium for this searing work by the young Puccini. During intermission, we'll go backstage to chat with Anna Netrebko. The Mets general manager, Peter Gelb, will stop by to talk about this season, and we'll bring you a special panel about the Met premiere of Kaija Saariaho's mesmerizing opera, L'Amour de Loin, Love from Afar. Stay with us today and every Saturday throughout the season.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, your radio host, and I'm joined by our commentator, Ira Siff. Here we go, Ira, on another season of broadcasts, the Mets' 86th season on the air.
Hi, Mary Jo, and it's just great to be back in the radio booth, and a warm welcome to our listeners.
Yes, are we all ready to dig into 24 weeks of opera?
Well, you know me, always.
Right.
And what a way to start. Manon Lescaut is the opera that really put Giacomo Puccini on the map. It's full of what he called desperate passion.
Yes, the title character craves love and passion, but also glamour and wealth. Ira, you sometimes talk about roles that require everything from a singer, and Manon is one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Her music is lyrical one moment, light and florid the next, then intensely dramatic, all capturing the developing depth of this character, and it's a perfect vehicle for Anna Netrebko.
Well, the first act is about to begin, so here's the synopsis. A crowd is enjoying a lovely evening in the town square of Amiens in France. The student Edmondo is there with his companions, and when his friend Desgrieux shows up, they banter about the fact that he's never been in love. But then, a beautiful young traveler arrives, Manon, who's accompanied by her brother, Lescaut. Desgrieux falls in love with her at first sight. She tells him sadly that her family is sending her to a convent, but she agrees to meet with him later that evening. Unfortunately, Manon has also caught the eye of a wealthy old man named Geronte, and he plans to abduct her that night. Edmondo overhears this plot and warns Desgrieux, who in turn warns Manon. Desgrieux declares his love to Manon and convinces her to run away with him instead, and the two of them flee to Paris. Geronte is furious, but Lescaut suggests that Manon will soon grow tired of living with a poor student, and then she'll appreciate what Geronte has to offer. Ira, even though the act ends with that thought sort of hanging in the air, the main focus is on the love that blossoms between Manon and Desgrieux. But first, Puccini sets the scene.
You know, the opening is bursting with youthful enthusiasm and sweeping melodies. Edmondo sings a kind of sentimental, half-joking madrigal, and Desgrieux's first aria is in that vein, too. His lilting melody has a teasing, flirtatious quality, but underneath is a sincere yearning for love. And this is something Puccini did brilliantly in Bohème, too. You know, youth trying to be flippant while brimming with emotion beneath the surface.
When Desgrieux lays eyes on Manon, the emotion comes to the surface.
And she tells him her name. We hear a theme that's going to be identified with her throughout the opera, though Puccini will morph and fragment it in different ways.
Here, it seems to represent the magical simplicity of two people falling in love.
And it does carry over into Desgrieux's rapturous aria, Donna non vidi mai, never have I seen a woman like her. He repeats her name and its theme, wanting to hold on to that moment. His melody has an intoxicating sensuality, but also a purity, like his love.
And the melody returns as she comes back for their tryst. But Manon tells Desgrieux that it would have been better had they not met, since she's headed for a life of misery.
Well, in this love duet, a layer of urgency is added to the discovery of their infatuation, because they need to escape, literally, before Geronte abducts Manon. Desgrieux pours out a passionate melody, which Manon joins in, and their voices soar together. After he overcomes her hesitation, this melody accompanies their escape.
But in between these romantic episodes, we hear from Geronte making his schemes and Lescaut, who gets involved in a card game. Lescaut's a gambler, we see, and plenty willing to see his sister take up with this rich man. Both men are caught off guard by the lovers running off.
And the act has a circular feel. It ends with the tune of Des Grieux's first aria, but it's reprised by Edmondo and the students. But with pointedly different words aimed at Geronte, they sing to an old fox. A fresh grape may appear velvety, but it will still be sour.
Mm-hmm. We'll hear in order of vocal appearance Zach Borachevsky as Edmondo and Marcelo Alvarez as Des Grieux. Christopher Maltman is Lescaut. Philip Cocorinos is the hotel manager. Brindley Sherritt is Geronte, and Anna Netrebko is Manon Lescaut. The concertmaster today is David Chan. Marco Armiliato conducts the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and chorus in this production of Manon Lescaut. This production updates the setting to 1941 during the occupation of France. The curtain goes up on a bustling outdoor cafe. Behind it are stairs that lead up to the train station, and they're curved like an amphitheater. Later, we'll see the train pull in, and Manon will descend those stairs. She'll be wearing a pastel floral blouse and skirt, her long auburn hair under a wide-brim hat. Well, this opera premiered in 1893. It was Puccini's third opera following Les Villes and Edgar and preceding La Bohème. Here's Maestro Marco Armiliato bowing to the audience. Let's hear Act One of Puccini's Manon Lescaut.
La mia giovine amici, troppo onore mi fate.
E va, coi nuovi amico, ti suicido lo scacco.
No, 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 ancora. Ma se mi talento, può con mi accermi. Tra voi belle brune bionde si nasconde giovinetta pare vezzosa dalla rosa che l'aspetta. Sei tu bionda stella di Loave, palesate mil destino, e il divino viso ardente che mi innamori, ti offega e adori eternamente. Tra voi belle brune bionde si nasconde giovinetta vaga e mezzosa dalla rosa che m'aspetta. Sei tu bruna stella di nome,
guardate compagni, di lui nessuno più si lagni.
Ma bravo!
Festeggiamo la serata!
Come il nostro sole fuori, non si vedono. Festeggiamo la serata! Come il nostro sole, festeggiamo la serata! Oh, festeggiamo!
seguir. arrivate fra poco, e cospiranti contro il fato vinceremo.
della gente mia. Io essa idea mi pare la vostra.
Certo, certo. O più sana la testa di quel che non senti, in che triste fama mie gesta girano.
Attendete per brevi stampe, qualche ordine io debbo all'ostiere partir.
Una carrozza e cavalli che fuori non si